Dear young lady, you won't always hear, "Thus says the Lord," for all the decisions you'll ever have to make. Now that one statement can be one of the most freeing things about walking with God and can also be pretty scary. I'll come back to that line of thought. This is the second part of my letter to you on direction. In part one, I shared how that God wants to be a Superman, and in the same way that animals came to Noah on their own, as well as other examples in the Bible, God can make things come to you too. It's called prepared provision. Listen to the first part to get a good foundation for this letter. I stumbled on something fascinating about birds. Apparently, birds are not taught to fly. They usually are pushed out of their nests by their mothers within a few days of their birth, and they're expected to instinctively work out how to fly. The aim is to make the fledglings build muscles and strength that help them survive on their own. God can be like that with us too. We may never know why bad things happen to good people, but there are a few things I know for sure. Hebrews 12:7 says, "Fully embrace God's correction as part of your training, for he is doing what any loving father does for his children. For who has ever heard of a child who never had to be corrected?" Verse 11 of the same chapter says, "Now all discipline seems to be painful at the time, yet later it produces a transformation of character, bringing a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who yield to it." Sometimes you ask God for direction and he'll be silent. You may go through painful circumstances as a result of your actions, and it'll look like, if God is God, how can he allow such and such happen to me? Congratulations, sis. The status of your sonship is being accredited. Let me bring this home in a way that's clearer to you. If you come from a home where your parents taught you to do things a certain godly way and you had to go off to boarding school, for instance, you might have heard them say, "Remember whose child you are and the family you come from and be a good child." I mean, all of that stuff. With all that foundation that they would have given you in all of the years before then, they hope and trust that they've equipped you enough to make your day-to-day decisions in a way that's consistent with how you were raised. Now, won't you be upset if your 30-year-old child keeps calling you to ask, "What should he have for dinner? What should he wear for his next meeting? Where to go to bed? What time should he go to bed?" You'll probably feel like a failure to have raised a child that isn't wise enough to make decisions that are considered good enough. There's a way we behave in God's family, and the Bible is the manual for that. Even though you may not hear God tell you specific things for every step you need to take, you have the liberty to act within your family norm. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will make you wise and show you where to go." Job 32:8 says, "There's a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding." You have the ability to know right from wrong because you have an inbuilt guide that prompts you. It's the Holy Spirit talking to your spirit. In relatable terms, you may call that your spirit your conscience. Be honest with me. Haven't there been times when you did something or wanted to do something that could have felt good, but your heart was just beating out of control? You probably felt so disturbed and guilty about it, and you snapped out of it. Your response to that conscience does one thing. It trains you. If you constantly ignore that nudge, at some point, you won't even feel anything again. It would be totally silent. Now, a lot of people throw around sentences like, "God said so and so to me," just to feel spiritual. But in the same way that it took you some time to recognize how your natural family behaves, it takes maturity to learn and understand how things work in God's family too. It's not the day you were born, you were given keys to drive a car. Nobody expects you to do that. But I hope that I'm not confusing you. Have you ever been so close to a person that with such deep friendship, you can even begin to end each other's sentences? You can predict what the person will do in any given situation, and Let me tell you one thing I've noticed about couples that are really in sync, that have grown old together. They even begin to look alike. Have you observed that? Let me set this straight. Your life is not your own. And you're never required to figure out life on your own. FYI, there is nothing like being self-made. God expects you to ask Him for direction. But there's a part where you also have to take the initiative to make certain decisions that align with God's will. This requires growth and fellowship with Him. So in times you don't hear, "Thus says the Lord," you can be assured that your decisions align with how things ought to be in God's family. How does this growth and fellowship and knowing come, you ask? It comes from spending time studying the Bible, prayer, and exposing yourself to God's words through teachings. Just like how you started developing deep friendship with your bestie, it takes time and consistency. Now, I think one of the reasons you don't ask God for direction is that you think that He's just this big, unfeeling guy that's just somewhere up there and He doesn't get you. Wrong. God made us in His image and likeness. So if you have feelings, He has feelings too. He gets hurt, He gets jealous, and even laughs. Instances of all of these are recorded in the Bible. If He gave you this life that you're living, do you really think that He doesn't want to show you how to live it to the fullest? In Jeremiah 33:3, He says, "Ask of Me, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Yes, He will directly tell you some things or send you confirmations through people that He has set over you, but sometimes He will be quiet too. Like the bird that pushes its baby out, He expects you to grow tough muscles in your everyday life so that when tougher decisions like who to marry and where to live comes up, you would have been used to being directed and led by God so much that it will be clear what you should do. This was a very tough letter to write because even I am still on this journey of building muscles in God. We all are. Even though I've been on this journey with God for a long time, and unlike the newborn baby, I'm grown enough to be handed keys to actually drive around, there's always a next level in life and we'll never not need God. The beautiful thing about growth in God, however, is that you can always look back at the scars and trophies and say with all confidence that if God led me through all that to where I am right now, He'll lead me from here to places ahead that I need to be also. Take time to listen to this letter all over again with an open mind and a hungry mind. Did you make it to this point? Leave me an emoji, a heart emoji, so that I know that you did. Sis, this is my 23rd letter to you, and my last letter to you will be the 26th letter. Yep, I know. From your responses, I can tell that you needed to hear these words, and you've been deeply transformed by them. I'd like to ask you to partner with me to make more people hear these timeless truths. Are there radio stations, TV stations, blogs, podcasts, YouTube, or other social media channels that we can have these letters featured on? Please make a recommendation and let me know. Let's have one more lady or a man align with God's way of truly living and being. You can send me an email on thisisbanke@gmail.com or on Instagram @thisisbanke. I'll talk to you again soon. Your sister, Banke.